There's a massive amount of content being uploaded to YouTube every day. And with content like ElsaGate creeping through the cracks, how can we make sure what we're exposing our kids to when we turn on the old virtual babysitter is going to be appropriate? Do we trust YouTube's parental controls and the algorithms that monitor content for us? Well, this Calgary-based company may have a solution. Join us as we dive deep into children's web content. Welcome to Shift.
Welcome to Shift. I am your co-host, Katie Dean.
And I'm John Hagen. Today on Shift, we've got Neil Grunninger, President and Chief Product Officer of Calgary-based Kadoodle TV.
Welcome, Neil. Thank you for coming on our podcast today. It's so great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Katie. Really appreciate it and excited to explore Kadoodle TV with you and John today.
Totally. So why don't you give us some background on Kadoodle? What is it?
Well, Kadoodle, in a nutshell, I would have to say, is a safe streaming video service for families. We've actually trademarked safe streaming, and it's been a core focus of ours is to create a platform that allows kids to find all of their favorite shows, educational programming, in a safe environment for them to watch on all types of devices. That whole OTT shift scenario, you know, Netflix has towed the way to kind of bring that internet based, you know, video consumption, and Kadoodle TV has really kind of followed in behind that wake. And have built apps across the board that house on like Roku TV, which is a media box for internet-based video consumption, and Fire TV, all the Samsung, LG smart TVs, and really focus on the mobile side as well. So you can basically get Kadoodle anywhere on any TV that you have currently. You can search for it and find it.
Now, a couple of questions for real quick. You said OTT shift. What is that?
Yeah. So over the top, really any internet based, I guess, service, even Facebook would be an over the top service where you get access to that medium through the internet. So you're not, you know, hardwired into cable and or operators networks, and you're using the internet to kind of get your call it message across.
Oh, I see. So now, Neil, with this safe streaming idea that you're talking about, why wouldn't I just want to go to YouTube, for example, and set parental controls? Why would Kadoodle TV be a better option than that?
Yeah, I mean, we've really pushed the safe alternative to YouTube message. And I mean, YouTube is, you can imagine how incredibly smart children are on with the internet these days. I always say they're like the new CTOs of the house, right?
Totally.
They have all the means to get to where they want to get to if they want to.
Yeah.
And YouTube, really the biggest thing around that, even with controls, and this is something that has changed just recently. There's been a massive media shift, with, landscape in terms of in our media, in our, you know, industry, where YouTube, you could basically get access to all the content on YouTube, but they weren't protecting your children's data. And, okay. COPPA is called the Children's Online Protection Privacy Act. It's been around since 1998. I feel like when we almost started this company. And really, it comes down to how they advertise to your kids. And they were fined last year. The FTC fined them, I think, $170 million, which is a drop in the bucket for them, obviously, for who they are as a company, and the revenues that they made. But that's really kind of given us the, you know, put us in the same playing field, per se, where we do have an ad-supported model where kids and families can access Kadoodle for free. We changed that in 2018, the summer of, recognizing that there's this, you know, SVOD, you know, I would say saturation, right? Uh-huh. And you know, parents just don't want to pay for another media source or another network. works, right? So really what it comes down to is YouTube, it doesn't matter what type of parental controls on it, you know, it's an open platform. And a lot of the content, even owners or content providers on YouTube, not all of them, but some of them, the ones, you know, call it the 10%, they slip mm-hmm. through the cracks, and it's really inappropriate, and kids can definitely get affected by it. I'm not sure if you've heard of Momo Challenge from last year.
Yeah.
Right. And Elsa Gate was a big phenomenon that came on that was very prominent in on YouTube, which they've done a lot of work, and they're working every day. Like it's a big job, right? And so, you know, and now they have YouTube Kids, and they've really put a lot of effort into that, which we're very excited about, right? And we're happy that they're doing everything they can to keep kids safe online, but it's still based on algorithms that essentially approve the content that goes on those services, right? And with YouTube, you know, that is, it's just, I think, what is it? There's 3 hours every minute that goes on YouTube, right? That gets published. And so,
unreal, okay?
Yeah.
The amount of content.
Yeah, you can't, I'm pretty sure a lot, I mean, this is all out in public, and I'm not saying YouTube's great. You know, they're, I use it all the time, for my personal use, and YouTube Kids, you know, they're, you know, families are adopting that, and they're doing an incredible job, but you know, based on algorithms, it's just, there's just that one piece that missing piece of that human element. And we have all of our TV shows screened by humans. And it's a very important part of it. We actually have hired grandparents to do the screening. So we set them up at home, and, you know, we give them, you know, all the devices. So they're all, you know, they're pretty tech savvy as of late. So yeah, it's really fun where they, you know, and they're very, you know, they do their job well, you know, they screen, their job is important, and they want to make sure that kids are safe online. So that's kind of been a fun little story that we've been able to tell, is the fact that, you know, we're bringing grandparents back, giving them, you know, a very, you know, an important job, and it's great to kind of hear their stories and what they've seen online as well.
I love that story, Neil. Like, I think that is so great. Like, I personally know, like, so I have a little monster myself, and I know his grandmas would take that job very seriously.
I can't get away with anything. So
you can't get away with anything with grandma. So that's interesting. And I wanted to kind of dive into the data part a little bit. So from a marketing standpoint, I understand that collecting data helps your advertisers. So what kind of benefits and like what kind of things are you doing for your advertisers?
Yeah, and that's definitely been an interesting problem to solve. And also we have a solution, and even to communicate that solution to advertisers is quite the job, because they are a lot, like where we're at, especially within the TV space, right? That's where the majority of our usage is been on. And advertisers are used to broadcast, right? Like right in the traditional advertisers, and I'm telling you, they're still very far behind. I think there's about $100 billion spent on TV. It's called the big screen advertising, right? Mm-hmm. And last year, $5 billion of that was spent on connected TVs, and $95 billion was spent on broadcast, which is just, you know, a huge, huge discrepancy between the two, because the data is showing that over 50% of all households are using OTT services, internet-based smart TV, you know, right. Channels. And
like I don't even have cable or satellite.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the change, and the cord nevers or the cord cutters, you know, it's a reality, and the marketers are finally kind of, you know, coming our way. But what they're used to, as what you pointed out, the data side for them digitally, they've been able to gain everything. And as I mentioned before, even with YouTube prior to this year, I think January 6th is when they gave them like the hard deadline to change all of their data sharing programs for marketers, that they have to now change the anything under 13 for kids. There's specific guidelines guidelines that you have to enforce. And so you can't track children online. You can't, you know, device to device tracking. You can't use that and then remarket to a child, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, the messaging behind it is just too, you know, it's a manipulative way of getting them to know your brand, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we've done and connected TVs in the way that you're able to advertise is on a content basis. So contextually targeting your ads is allowed. And so we give those parameters and also the data behind frequency capping, you're allowed as well. You just can't provide any other data outside of that. So you can't track them across the board.
Well, that sounds great. Cause like personally, I trust grandma with you know, making those decisions on what is appropriate and not appropriate, even for the advertisers, then I would like an algorithm. Right.
Yes. Yeah. And we actually built, and we're kind of the first, like we are actually the godfathers of this space. Like we were the initial, there was no Netflix Kids prior to when we started the company. There was no YouTube Kids. You know, we were really the first OTT across all devices service focused on kids in the marketplace. And we are kind of the trend setter right now. And so we see a lot of individuals kind of looking at us as sure. to how to move forward and build their own versions of call it Kidoodle TV. And when it comes to data and even algorithms through advertising, we actually have a review process. So we look at every single advert before it gets on Kidoodle. And that's a very important part of that whole process that we built internally. And actually, IRAP was one of the supporters of that to get that kind of that program up and running, which is now completed over the last 2 to 3 months. And it's been working wonderfully.
Well, that's great. When did you guys start the company, Neil?
So the idea came about in 2011, and we kind of got everything off to the races in 2012, beginning of 2012.
Oh, okay. So off pretty quickly.
What was your entrepreneurial journey like, Neil? Like, did you just like have an idea, develop the idea, go to market, or was there some bumps and some really great successes early on?
Definitely a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
And lots of bumps and you know, it took, you know, a lot of patience, with just not only we were so far ahead, I think, of what we were trying to accomplish. And we had to wait for the industry to catch up on a multiple levels. One especially was content. And being able to acquire it and license it in a way that didn't put us underwater, right? So initially, we actually did a traditional licensing agreement with some big toy cos and got a lot of their brands on the service, and it just really did not perform the way, because we had to pay up front and then we were backfilling, you know, for so much because we had to find the subscribers to pay for those content bills. And it just wasn't a healthy way of kind of, you know, slowly ramping up and building, right? It was a lot of upfront costs.
Right.
And so that, you know, that was that, and that's just, you know, it gave us a seat at the table, mind you. But what YouTube did, and this is the benefits of YouTube for us anyways, and licensing content, is a lot of content was put out there for free. And so they devalued their content to a degree where all of a sudden they needed to find other means to generate revenue from outside of YouTube. And then we became like that secondary place to generate revenue with, right? Once we opened it up for free and started and I'll step back. So, you know, our initial idea was to create an SVOD service similar to Netflix, right? So you had to pay $5 a month, all you can eat,
right.
content. And like I said, that barrier to entry was a very, you know, interesting problem to figure out. And by, you know, what we did is we removed it, and we basically decided that we couldn't babysit, you know, parents. They could make the decision on whether they wanted their children to watch adverts or not, right? Mm-hmm. And YouTube was really this area where kids were consuming their content. So parents and families, in my mind, were just used to it, right? And even kids are just used to watching commercials. So the second that we opened up our service for free, and then, you know, Mike and I, the co-founder, Mike Lowe, and CEO, you know, decided that we're going to just monetize this at a future date, but right now it's about getting eyeballs in and families using the service. And we actually made that change in 2018. So that was a big decision maker. And in terms of an entrepreneurial type, you know, decision, it was scary, right?
Yeah.
You know? So we're looking at, okay, because now all of a sudden there's more costs because we know it's going to grow, and people are going to want to watch it for free. So we need to monetize it through adverts, and hope that the CTV landscape will finally catch up to where we were at the time. And now that's kind of starting to come to fruition with our ad tech and what we built. And finally, you know, like I said, the marketers are getting that parents and families and children are not using broadcasts to consume their content, right? But there's been some, you know, many, many nights of sharing beds with Mike on the road, couple rooms, couches, meals, taking in, you know, pop cans to keep it going. Like there, you know, it really was years of not paying ourselves and making sure that, you know, employees and the service was, you know, had the money first before we would even look at taking a salary.
Now, Neil, I'm super curious about, as you go through all this journey and all of these challenges, how do you and Mike stay positive with it? Like, I can imagine, you know, people get an idea, they want to push through, and then you're met with some, you know, some obstacles, and it would be easy to just quit. And you guys you're not just building a widget. You're doing something that's, you know, it's seems much bigger to me. It seems almost impossible for me to wrap my brain around it. How do you stay positive when you hit all of those obstacles?
You know, John, it's kind of, sometimes you fall up, you know, as we say,
fall up.
You fall up. Yeah.
Okay.
Falling down.
Right. What do you mean?
There's always luck involved. And I'll be quite honest, you know, we took, you know, money and investments from family and friends. We also had an individual, that invested, you know, his portion and has shares within, a foundation. And it's for kids. And so there was a lot of pressure to keep it going no matter what. And we were in a pretty tight position when we got into a very long lawsuit with a company as I mentioned before earlier, we did the traditional means of acquiring content, and they put a lot of stuff out there for free. So Mike and I, another interesting decision to make, we're not going to pay. And, you know, we're fighting against, you know, it's kind of like the David versus Goliath story in the sense that we're now fighting against one of the biggest toy companies in the world. Right. And now that said, we work with them now. Business is business at the end of the day. And so, you know, it's all, you know, water under the bridge. But at that point in time, you know, we're looking at, you know, winning this. We knew we were going to win. You know, there was no question in our minds. And it was holding on to make sure that not only the investors see a return on investment, but our idea would continue on and would grow. And when we won that specific lawsuit, you know, it was that was kind of a ha moment for us. A lot of people kind of believed in what we were up to, again, from a government perspective, right, and even locally. And so we just kept on pushing ahead and made some pretty big decisions to on the AVOD side, like I mentioned before, and that really kind of gave us that growth metric where, you know, individuals, you know, and we're very fortunate to be here in Calgary. I must say, we had a lot of smart businessmen that were able to guide us, and not only that, show us the support, because I mean, keeping kids safe online was a really important part of their legacy as well, right?
So speaking of growth, I read somewhere that you guys have grown and tell me if this is right, because it sounds incredible. You guys have grown 230% since March. So like during COVID, you guys have grown 230%. Is that correct?
It's actually a lot more than that, because that was
holy cow
2 months ago now. These are deals in the making for years and years and years, right? We just got Paw Patrol. And Katie, I'm not
sure. We love Paw Patrol in our house, so that's great.
Quite brand. But and you understand the licensing games are just so complicated and convoluted. Brenda Bisner, our chief content officer, has done an incredible. She's a mom, and she is very passionate about keeping kids safe online, and she's been in the content game for over two decades now. And so our Viacom/Spin Master deal for Paw Patrol took years. During COVID, they recognized our growth. That 230% helped assuade them one way and say, well, okay, well, you do have a very large audience. So like we have millions of families that use our service every month. We have hundreds of thousands of families that use our service every day. So we're in the big leagues when it comes to our service and the usage. We're in the, they call it the petabyte club on data per
petabyte.
And so, you know, Paw Patrol was a key piece and content is really key and king in this world. Paw Patrol really did help us grow and Spin Master is very, very happy with the results they've seen. So we've actually grown 530%.
Oh. That's incredible.
Yeah. It's been fun. And we've been growing our team too. So when we have, it's the excitement coming in and the team is adding value and seeing the growth almost every day, you know, it helps kind of keep them excited, and pushing hard, you know, cause the weekends are busy. Every day is busy. I mean, we say this all the time where you can access us 24/7. So, you know, typically I try to get a couple hours of sleep and just keep on waking up and doing it all over again.
The life of an entrepreneur, right?
Yeah. Neil, tell us, so you said the team is growing. So how many employees do you have right now?
I think total with consultants, obviously in the States and whatnot, we have about 55 globally. And in Alberta, I believe it's around 40 to 45 ish in that range. We literally are getting new people in every week, which is exciting. So typically, you know, we see two new hires every week, which is really exciting. I get to see new faces. I mentioned before our new facility is right above Shoppers. So it's great. We're kind of really building it out to be a tech hub where we want to be very open for students or tech, you know, media influencers, anyone that wants to come in, have a coffee, you know, talk about what they've been up to, you know, entrepreneurs. We want to support the community as much as possible within Mission.
That's Mission in Calgary. We don't want people we don't want people going to Shoppers in Edmonton here
Calgary specifically. Yeah.
But you've got an office in Edmonton too, don't you?
Yes, we do. We're probably about three blocks away from the Rogers complex.
The bubble.
It's right downtown. It's very nice too. But I'll be honest with you. Everyone is just their heads down type scenario. That's our core tech hub. It's a lot of our technology. Our content technology officer is based out of Edmonton, and he's built an incredible team there. And we're kind of media and marketing, and I would say content creation. We're getting into originals, and I can talk about that in a second. But sure. That's been a fun part of the whole kind of, you know, the whole company working together and really being remote, even through COVID, and just really working together to keep our service running 24/7.
So you mentioned that you guys are global. So I'm wondering, what market are Are you guys the most popular in? Is it Canadian or is it American?
We, United States by far is kind of our top market. Canada was always kind of number two, sitting in front of the UK. But, the UK was, we've always been global, but we're now marketing in a lot of these areas. And believe it or not, India has just kind of skyrocketed as of late over the last 3 weeks to become number two. The UK is now up again, and Canada is kind of number five, but it's incredible to see how much usage happens and how often people come back. And John, to your point earlier, what kind of keeps you going and what excites us is that we get families that send us emails all the time, right? And parents that thank us for what we've been up to. And so that goes a long ways in the midst of everything going on.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt. I can well imagine. You know, and it gets me thinking about something when you talk about, the growth of the company and Canada being the number two market. I'm just thinking in terms of a conversation we had with a gentleman named Harry Sharma, who's the Director of Innovation and Technology from the Conference Board of Canada. Now, they're studying, entrepreneurialism in Canada, all the provinces, and they're coming up with a framework. And one of the things that he said to us in the interview was, in Canada, we're very good at building startups, but we fall short in keeping the startups around. Mm-hmm. So in the context of that, what are the future plans for Cadoodle?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that statement more. And what I believe it is we have this freedom in Canada to be creative, right? And it's not quite a socialist country, but in terms of art and musicians and dancers and artists across the board, a lot of our, we're very well educated, right? So we're good problem solvers in my mind. And we also have to make it happen because we have a small population, right? So if you make something work here in Canada, it will work everywhere else. It truly will, especially in the United States. And then I think the reason why we can't keep it here is because there's a few other scenarios where we're conservative and we don't really apply a lot of money. And money makes a big difference in any startup. And also when you find something that gets traction, you really just need to push forward and keep at it. And money is really, the key ingredient in my mind, right?
Sure.
And so with the future of Cadoodle, because of our growth and because we have an incredible backing from some of our, and they're not actually Canadian, they're based out of Dallas, they're really focused on keeping kids safe online, and they understand that what we have is not just a value to families, but there's a business, and so it's been an important part of us in terms of our growth and future. So our future is to be one of the largest media companies in Canada. That's one of our, that is a goal of our Mike and myself, we think we can do it, and so we're going to keep on pounding away until that happens.
Well, awesome. That's good for you. But now you said something there. You said we can't keep it here. So you're are you thinking you'll keep the head office here? You're gonna what does that look like? Let me put you on the spot.
Yeah. I would say we have other motivations by staying here in Calgary, just from a media perspective, because of our originals and really moving in that direction. We have Calgary is an incredible city, and it has the biggest banks in the world that have their main headquarters here. We have an incredible amount of resources, and when it comes to continuing to build outside of Canada, I'll be honest with you. When we're in these meetings, especially on the platform side, they really like working with Canadians, right? Like that's over and over and over again. We hear that normally I'm not even in Canada. I'm always traveling all over the world. But when we're sitting down and going through a contract, immediately we're up at the top of the list because they feel that we're easy to work with and we're very transparent on how we get deals done. So that's been a benefit. And not saying that it has been hard staying here, because like I said, a lot of our backing is down south, and they wanted us to make the move. But you know, Mike has his family here. I have my family here. And it's important for us to kind of, to continue to be proud Albertans in my mind. So that's key. And then, like I said, when it comes to original content, you know, the creative industries we feel needs to be reevaluated here within Canada, and structure, especially in Alberta, and structure differently, like what Vancouver and Toronto has seen. And we would like to kind of lead that moving forward. So that's a key part of being here in Calgary as well.
Totally. So I really want to get into your originals that you keep talking about, but I do just want to make one comment first, and that's the tie you have to Dallas. It's so interesting because we're seeing, so our CEO, Laura, she came from Texas, and she often talks about how, you know, she thinks that Alberta is like the tech hub of Canada, much like how she thinks Austin, that Texas Austin is the tech hub of the United States. So it's so interesting to me that I always see such a tie to that state.
Absolutely. And it's true. I mean, well, we think a lot alike in my mind, right? We're, you know, entrepreneurial, hardworking, and at the end of the day, you know, it really is earning what, you know, I don't want to say this, but it's kind of like, you know, eating what you kill type scenario. Like everyone, Dallas that I know, they're and Austin and Texas in general, they're there to work, and Alberta is the same way in my mind. You know, we're here to focus on it. And that's why I think it's we're excited to be here and create opportunities, because our team, it is a different opportunity, because there's nothing like this in Calgary when it comes to media and technology. And we're really kind of in the entertainment space, you know, although technology's gotten us there, and that was my background coming into it. And so it's an important part that we recognize that we have the people here to create incredible companies and global companies, not just Canadian focus. And that's the biggest thing that I've seen in Canada is they're focused in Canada. They're not focused on a global level. And we are in a small country, although it's very large. You know, California has more people in California than all of Canada, right? You know, and you look at the sheer numbers, and that's kind of what I think we've gotten our success from, is the fact that we haven't focused in Canada. Canada being number two has been a byproduct of being here, and obviously getting the word of around working, you know, locally with individuals, but the majority of our growth is definitely elsewhere, right?
So tell us about the originals. Like, this sounds really cool.
So we discovered an individual. I'm not sure if you've seen him. Most people have, but his name is Wes Tank, and he has a compilation of rapping to his favorite beats to Dr. Seuss, right? So his original Dr. Seuss book was rapped by Dr. Dre beats, and he's just phenomenal. He's an incredible individual, and he's fun, and he's making reading cool again, what it comes down to. And so we discovered him online. We reached out immediately, and we've been working with him, you know, for the last 3 months, and we finally have kind of, we're putting our foot down on Thursday to do the announcement, and it's very exciting. So seeing him how talented he is, and it's amazing what you can get done with, you know, well, being remote with your own camera system and editing and just being able to, you know, have your own little individual studio and not spend, you know, millions of dollars on a production, right? So it's very exciting for us.
So Dr. Dre Dr. Seuss and Kidoodle. This sounds so fun.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Now, we've gone the route of off copyright stories, and we've had to, you know, because that's our original production. But it really is neat because it gets parents interacting with kids again, right? And what we want to see from this is parents sending in their favorite books, rapping to it on social media, and kind of, you know, being a part of this movement. And you know, every time I show my family members or friends or put it up on Kidoodle, because we do have some of his content already on Kidoodle, and that's the Dr. Seuss footage. So I highly recommend you download Kidoodle and check it out. I think it's like number 4 in the lineup for our content, and it's just so entertaining. You know, I literally put that up at you know, events, or if we're, you know, entertaining at the house, and I'll put that in the background, and we're listening to that opposed to listening to regular music these days.
Yeah, well, like, I'll be getting down in the kitchen to Dr. Dre while my kid is listening to Dr. Seuss. Like, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. Just make sure you tape it and you send it in.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Nobody needs to see that, Neil.
Man, I learned a lot. It's funny because usually we always start off and like, okay, let's keep it about 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And the content, you know, and the conversation it's so exciting.
Then it just keeps going, and we're like, it's so interesting.
I mean, we could talk for hours. There's so much that we've done, and it's exciting that we can actually start talking about these things. I'll be honest with you. We've been a little quiet because of that lawsuit. When I got some gray hairs from that, there's no question. And you know, after winning that, it really kind of put us, we got to really, you know, put our foot forward. And even in the industry, when you have that win, people just all of a sudden immediately, there's like, okay, these guys are here to stay, right? Like they're serious. They're going to make it happen. They're not backing down. And that comes from that hard work. And I think the way, you know, we've grown up socially right here in Alberta. So that's, and the other part was we weren't going to allow, you know, our family's money, that hard earned money, you know, that they put into this company, just all of a sudden go to waste. Right. That was kind of a key piece that we really, you know, had to drive forward with. And in, if you were in Silicon Valley, you know, their structure is set. We got smart people. We're going to put money and bet on them. Right. And if within 12 to 18 months, it doesn't blow up, then you just, you fold the company, you do another one. And for us, because we had to stick into it and we weren't going to do another one. If you lose once in Canada, you never come back from it. Right. That's the difference. And because, you know, you just only have so much grace here. And it's different in the States. So,
yeah. And you know what we often talk about, or like one of the phrases that I use is failing upwards. It's kind of like how you said,
falling upwards,
failing upwards. And that is, I think, a really great example of how, you know, entrepreneurs, it might seem like a setback, but it's really been what's going to propel you forward, you know?
Absolutely. And you know, that just from that lawsuit, what it did for our company is we had to get lean.
Yeah.
Rethink about how we were going to, you know, repurpose our entire service and, you know, move forward. And that was key. And coming back from that really allowed us to understand what families were looking for. And that's why we made that change by allowing parents to get access to Kidoodle for free. That was the biggest step forward. There's no question. And luckily we had a backer that looked at the growth and said, this is key. We know that monetizing is going to take time. And he put a bet on us, and we're finally seeing, you know, the results of it.
That's really great to hear. Really, really excited. And so glad that you guys are Calgary based.
Neil, it was a real pleasure chatting with you and learning more about Kidoodle and about you and the work you and Michael are doing. I think it's fascinating, exciting. We're looking forward to seeing how it continues to develop. And, you know, hearing these sorts of Alberta successes are inspiring. So thanks, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a pleasure getting to know you a little bit more, and excited to, you know, touch back and keep you informed on how things come around. And once we launch on Thursday, I'll make sure to send you a link to those videos. Really appreciate all your time today.
Please, absolutely. Okay, thanks so much, Neil.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Shift is brought to you by Alberta Innovates. We can be found online at shift.albertainnovates.ca, or you can send us an email anytime at shift@albertainnovates.ca. On behalf of everyone here, I'm John Hagen. Until next time.